This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we move further along in the Psalter with Psalms 58 through 60, Break Their Teeth. Deliver me, O God, a refuge in the day of my distress. Give salvation by your right hand, and with God we shall do valiantly. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
O Lord, open my lips,
and my mouth will declare your praise.
Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord. For we need the Father and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Christ has appeared to us.
O Lord, let us worship Him. O God, let us sing to the Lord. Let us sing a joyful voice to the rock of our salvation. Let us come to His presence with thanksgiving.
Christ has appeared to us.
A reading from Romans chapter 12. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not be slothful in zeal. Be fervent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, "Vengeance is mine, I will repay," says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by doing so, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord will arise upon you, and his glory will be seen upon you.
Arise, shine for your light as love, and the Lord.
nations shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. Father and to the Son and to the Holy Spirit.
Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you.
Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
You just heard that chunk of Holy Scripture from Romans 12, and that is an inspired mouthful. On first hearing, today's text sounds a lot like a list of random and even disconnected admonitions. It may seem as though Paul is presenting us with such a long to-do list of attitudes and actions that Christians are to accomplish. Such a reading would miss the point. This series of exhortations are in fact unified and held together by the apostle's Lord, who himself was persecuted but did not strike back. This Lord is the one who endured evil from human hands but committed himself to the hands of his Father, praying for forgiveness for those who in blindness crucified the Lord of glory. He did not repay evil for evil. Instead, he paid with his own blood the price of our redemption. Paul echoes the words of his Lord, who said in the Sermon on the Mount, "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." This Jesus was not overcome by evil, but overcame evil by suffering it through in his holy passion to be our Savior, winning us the victory over sin, death, and the devil by his very submission to the will of his Father, which led him to the cross. And then in his resurrection from the dead, he declared this victory. He declared this victory to the entire universe. Baptized into his death, we are now partakers of his resurrection as well. Our bodily life is joined to his body. The life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself up for us. The Lord Jesus Christ did not say, "When the Son of Man returns, will he find love on earth?" Instead, he said, "When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" We are not justified by our love, but through faith in Christ, Love is the fruit of faith. Where faith clings to the promises of Christ Jesus, there the love of God is poured into our hearts. And as that love is given to us, it is always an overflowing love that flows beyond the self to the neighbor in the world where God has located us. In view of God's mercy to us, Paul says earlier in Romans 12 that we are to render our bodies as living sacrifices. Bodies that are not conformed to the corrupt and lethal patterns of this dark and fallen world, but rather bodies that are enlivened by the mind of Christ, who has reconciled us to his Father. Luther would capture this truth in what I think is one of his most pastorally useful writings apart from the catechisms, 1520, on the freedom of the Christian, where there he describes the life of the Christian as literally a life that is turned inside out, a life that is lived outside of the self. He says that by faith we are lifted into Christ, and by love we are lowered into the life of the neighbor. And that is why we pray in the post-communion collect that Luther wrote just 6 years later, that this salutary gift of Jesus' body and blood would do what? Strengthen us in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Of that love, the apostle says, let love be genuine. The love of Christ is the real thing. It is authentic. The world sees love as a sentiment fueled and filled with our own affections, choices, affirmations. Dietrich Bonhoeffer once commented that in our age, love defines God. But in the New Testament, God defines love. And God's definition of love is given in the cross of his Son, who himself showed love to the loveless, that they might lovely be. He is the one who alone embodies all that the apostle describes in Romans 12. Jesus is the friend of sinners. That is, he extends God's hospitality to those who are crushed by their guilt and disarmed by their shame. He has come into the world not to condemn, but to rescue, reconcile, and restore you who by your sin lived as his enemies. He comes not to curse you, but to bless you. He is lowly of heart, and he calls you who are weak and worn out to take up his yoke and come to him. For that yoke is light. He weeps with those who weep, just as he did at Lazarus' grave. And he rejoices
with those who rejoice, as he did at Cana's wedding. And today he gives you a peace which the world cannot give. And those who receive his peace live together in the bonds of peace. He does not call fire down from heaven against those who oppose him. In his compassion, he opens his hand to the hungry, to feed the hungry. He gives drink to quench the thirsty mouths, and living water to those who are living in spiritual deserts. He utters a benediction on those who extend a cup of cold water in his name. In short, Jesus is not overcome by evil, but he overcomes evil with the good. Several years ago, the American church historian Mark Knoll, writing in an article on Lutherans in First Things Journal, made a delightful observation. And keep in mind, Knoll himself is not a Lutheran. He said that Lutherans are extraordinarily ordinary. Now, that's not a backhanded compliment, as though Knoll only knew those Lake Wobegon Lutherans of that generation. But as he unpacks that phrase, that Lutherans are extraordinarily ordinary, he notes, and perhaps we'd want to thank God for this, that there's never been a Lutheran president in the United States. And that Lutherans are typically not very flashy in the public square. What is the key for this? Noel makes the observation that Lutherans actually have a doctrine of vocation that tends to the ordinary, that the Christian life is not put on display by big-ticket political activism or by making a name for ourselves. It's lived out in those ordinary places, the congregation, the community, the family, and the workplace. Our text from Romans 12 is about the life of those who belong to Christ in the ordinary places of human life. It's not a recipe for a superhuman utopia. It is a life lived in the realities of time and space, where we irritate one another, bump up against one another, close ourselves in to the need of the neighbor. It's a life lived day to day, confronting the annoyances and distractions that are always there, close at hand. But it is a life that is alive with the hope that does not disappoint. Because we have the knowledge that nothing in all of creation will be able to separate us from that love of God which was epiphanied in Christ Jesus. It is a life of patience, because the God of endurance has been patient and long-suffering with you. Life under the cross is marked by prayer, because in Jesus we have the inheritance that enables us together to call God our Father. It is the pattern of how Christ's holy people now live in love because God has first loved us. Amen. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.
Thank you.
In our prayers, we remember the families of those who were killed in the recent plane crash in Washington, D.C. We also rejoice with Wesley and Beth Williams at the birth of their son, Samuel. O Lord, hear my prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, mercifully look upon our infirmities and stretch forth the hand of your majesty to heal and defend us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, merciful Father, your thoughts are not our thoughts, your ways are not our ways. In your wisdom, you have permitted this disastrous plane crash to befall us. We implore you, let not the hearts of your people despair, nor our faith fail us, but sustain and comfort us. Direct all efforts to console the bereaved and protect the helpless. Bring hope and healing that we may find relief and restoration through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Heavenly Father, you sent your own Son into this world as the child of Mary. We thank you for the life of this child, Samuel. Bring him to the saving waters of holy baptism, and grant him that precious inheritance awaiting him in your eternal kingdom, through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and everlasting God, you have safely brought us to the beginning of this day. Defend us in the same with your mighty power, and grant that this day we fall into no sin, neither run into any kind of danger, but that all our doings, being ordered by your governance, may be righteous in your sight. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us all.
Amen.